Good morning. How are we doing? Good. And then it's great to see Lule back again with us. As you know, Lule every year goes and spends a few weeks in Estonia to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ there. And I think the sermon this morning is for her, one by one. And she said she got to minister more to the ladies there. And if you can continue to lift her up and hold her in prayer, because you know, Estonia is not soft, easy ground, pliable ground. It's hard ground to plow the gospel of the kingdom there. How many years, Lule? 21 years Lule has been going from our 21 years. Every summer she goes over to Estonia to minister the gospel there. So welcome to have you back. And glad to see you. If you turn your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 1, please. We're going to have a look at some scriptures this morning, which is always good on how we should start and how we should preach. And before we get there, just a little bit of an update, as you well know. Hope this is working well. Oh, helps if I switch it on. Eh? Here we go. So part 1, we looked at engineering influence, and we looked at the 6 or 7 influences in cultural and society, and trusting the church will influence all those areas, being you and me and everyone who is part of the body of Jesus Christ. Then Chris preached on come, which was dismantling the beam in your eye, and he spoke about sowing seeds and being a seed sower. And then last week we looked at the ripple effect and what that looks like. If you were a stone being dropped into a pond, the ripples you would make. And today, I want to talk about one by one. You know the story I told you about the starfish all up on the beach, and guy walking along and said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm throwing these back into the sea to save them." He said, "Well, it's not going to do anything." He said, "No, but this one it will, and this one it will, and this one it will." And I was so reminded of Rick Warren's dad when he was dying on his deathbed, and he called his son called Rick to him. And he grabbed him and called him closer. And before he passed away, he said, "My son, don't forget, one more for Jesus. One more for Jesus." And you might sometimes think the task is too big for me. I just can't do it. No, one by one. One by one. And we'll see how that helps us and how that affects us. Okay, Mark chapter 1, verse 17. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. I will enable you to draw into my true church by the net of my gospel," is what he said to them, a generic metaphor to these fishermen at the time. And if I really had time, I could show you in the Old Testament from Jeremiah to the New Testament now how this wasn't the first time it was used, and Jesus used it this time to show them the grace of the gospel. In the old time, it was, "I'm going to send fishers and hunters after you to actually bring the judgment upon Israel because of their naughtiness." But this time, it's used as a way of understanding. And the scholars who understood the Old Testament would understand this perfectly. For us, we just look and we go, "Oh, that's a cool understanding." But it's much deeper. But for the exercise, we're just going to go with this, because it's not just fishers of men, it's just not salvation. It actually means to make disciples of. And that's the point, the big point behind it. And Jesus summoned these men to gather out of the sea of life, out of the sin and death, into his glorious kingdom. And we see that Jesus calls us all. He invites. If we were taking it into another dimension, we could say he invites carpenters to build his temple. He invites servants to serve the great king. Physicians to heal the immortal souls. And merchants to invest in the pearl of great price, etc., etc., in the great king and I, etc., etc., etc. I know you got it, yes, I know. Thank you. Just sometimes my brain runs away with me and you just go, "Hey, well, just only sometimes." Yeah. In this calling as being fishermen, there was also, for them to understand, there would be daily hardship and dangers. They were going out to fish every day and there was daily hardships. And you know that when Paul went out, there were daily hardships. We don't get that so much. I just wonder how it would make a difference to us if we had some really dangers and hardships. when we went to preach the gospel. There was an earnest desire for the object that they sought. They were going to look for fishers. They wanted to be fishers of men. The skills and the wisdom they needed in pursuit of this. And that's why, I mean, Bridget sharing the word this morning, and the more she was sharing it, the more I was, for me personally, I was getting this. Man, this whole change table thing, and we know, we're looking, Jesus is our source. He's the only source. He is the one that will bring about the change. He is the one to bring about the influence. But we get to be used by Him. And I felt that our whole series that we're doing, Engineers of Influence, is like the change table. And we're the babies on the change table. And the new babies that are to come. And we've got to accept that He's going to change us. And we've got to be willing, though, to get the new diaper, as it were. Okay, moving on. Turn with me to Mark chapter 16, please. And we see here in John 1 verse 38, Jesus' opening words in John is, "What are you seeking? Come and you will see." And at the end of Mark, in chapter 16 here, his last words, he says to them, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole of creation." That's the same as Matthew 28, the Great Commission. And he has Jesus' last words to his disciples, saying, go and be disciples of disciples. Go and make disciples. Go and fulfill this. Go and talk about this. Go and bring into the world. Flipping over again to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I know we're going to do probably one or two more scriptures, then I'll show you pretty pictures. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Yeah, Paul talking to his young charge Timothy, but it's also to us, because what is good for one Christian has got to be good for all Christians, right? It's not like degrees. I remember recently after Bridget and I got saved, the crew that we used to hang out, Motley Crew. They didn't even know who Motley Crew is. Anyway, stay with us, Mark. Focus. I'm trying. Okay. Young Paul talking to his charge Timothy, giving him his instruction. I remember when Motley Crew, who we were with. And the one lady turned around and said to us, "Oh." And then we became leaders in the church. And then she said, "Oh, so now you big Christians." I'm like, "Well, what's a small Christian then? If we big Christians." And you know what that showed me? The people's lack of understanding. Not because she was being smart, but she just thought, "Oh, well, now we like, you know, people's bad expressions of church." Anyway, let me go. Where am I? Chapter 4, verse 2. "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season." Down to verse 5. "As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering." Let's put a line to that one. We don't want to do that. "Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." And we know the ministry we've been called to is reconciliation. Preach the word in and out of season. Always be able to give a response. And sometimes, as we preached last year, we have to understand that when doing the work of the evangelist, all we have to be is doing the work of the bringer of good news. Well, I can't stand on a street corner on a crate, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. And I don't know if I've got it in my notes here somewhere, but stop for a moment, and when I say the word evangelist, what picture comes to your mind? Don't tell me. What picture comes to your mind? It's the wrong picture. Because we've been taught and we see on TV who the evangelists are, and we go, "Oh, wow. I can never attain that. I can never do that. I'm not wearing a gray suit and white shoes. And that's just not going to work for me." Because that's the wrong picture we've been given. The evangelist is having a caring heart, a compassionate heart, a heart full of passion for people and for the love of Jesus. People who are willing to share. I'm getting ahead of myself. Remember last week I said to fulfill your ministry. Your vocation is the location of your ministry. Your vocation is the location of your ministry. So wherever you are, whatever you do, when you walk into the office, you have a congregation in front of you and around you and beside you. And when you're on the go train, if you're on the bus, you have a select audience who can't get and go anywhere. And now you've got them for a moment in time. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, it says, you will receive power. Wait in Jerusalem and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You will be the prosecutor for the defense of the gospel. You will be the advocate for the gospel. You know, in a courtroom, it sounds a little bit like courtroomish. You'll be my witness. Now, what we have to understand is that we're neither meant to do either. We're not supposed to be the defense counsel or the prosecutor. We got to be witnesses. Now, change your thinking of what an evangelist is, or evangelizing. Do the work of the evangelist. What we have to do is just give witness to what we know. That's all the witness does. Gets in the box and they raises their right hand. Yep. I've got two right hands. Raise your right hand, swear by whatever, and tell the truth. Just tell the truth. This is what I was like. This is what Jesus did for me. This is how he changed my life. What's your scripture and verse for it? I don't need one. You need to know that I've been changed. I've been influenced. I have been on the change table. Now we've got to say, learn the Bible, learn the Bible. And learning is a good thing. Please don't walk away and say, I didn't say you have to learn anything. But you know what's better than learning the Bible? Living the Bible. We've got to learn to live the Bible. I know many people who can outquote most of us in this room on scripture. And they've got a verse for everything. Man, man, I've got a verse here and a verse here and a verse there. But their life's a mess. They don't live it. They learnt it. Do you know that a drowning person doesn't care about what the Greek word for lifeline is? He just wants you to throw him one. He don't care. The Greek word for lifeline, he doesn't care. He wants you, they want you. And that's what, take your net, your fishing net, and throw it upon the sea of humanity. And rescue some. Engineering influence, when and wherever you are commissioned to go through the task, may seem daunting at times. I know you don't believe me. I've told you, I'm a shy person. Do you know how long it's taken me to practice to talk to strangers? And now you know what I've learned. Just talk to them about whatever. Yesterday I was buying a coffee and these two guys were joshing each other about the coffee. And I just said, "And a great friend you got, eh?" And I laughed. So they can see I'm not being offensive now. And then they started chatting back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And eventually they were, "Okay, cool. Bye. See you. God." Yeah, did I get to preach the gospel? No. But just something took place there. And that's what we're just going to learn to do. Just, hi, what a great summer's day. I know when we walk in, yeah, you say, oh, weather's great, outstanding. Man, why don't we do that with strangers in the street? Anyway, when we see one stone dropped into the pool, if you can get this picture with me, I'm going to try and help. Put in the pool, we saw those little ripples going out. When we bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's not like one stone being dropped in. It's like rain falling on a pool, on a pond or a pool. So, because the point I'm making is that if I take the gospel and I drop it into Bridget's pond, and my pond is already a little pool going and her pool starts to go, then she goes and tells somebody else. Now we have another concentric circle of ripple effects. And then she tells Kevin, and Kevin tells Alan, and Alan tells Paddy. And now we have this whole concentric circles going out all the time. Could you imagine the impact? And all I've done is tell her. I haven't had to tell him and him and her and her and him and her. And because it goes on and it goes on. Why? Because it's good news. We have to understand that there is a plan. Know God's plan for you. There we go, it's working. We are ministers of the gospel. Romans 10:14. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching, witnessing, telling? Remember, there's a Wednesday night I used this. That word there is not preaching as in pulpit. It's actually in declaring, proclaiming the good news. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? We know we've been sent. Mark 16:15, Matthew 28. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. This might seem a quandary to us on how they've been. Well, how and the how and the how and the how. If I can take it into a baseball term. Think of a baseball. All the bases are loaded. So you're coming along, and all you have to do is step up to the plate and swing. And when you swing, you can bring all of those people on the bases home, if you take it into that kind of metaphor. And understand, the bases are loaded. There are people around you who are standing on a base, and they are waiting to be brought home. And all we have to do is sow the seed, stand up and swing. And we swing, and we swing, and we swing. And the people will come home, and they'll come home, and they'll come home. How beautiful are the feet. The joy and thrill of the herald of the gospel. And what the writer of Romans do, he's quoting Isaiah 52 verse 7. He says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news of happiness, who publish salvation, who says, Zion, your God reigns. And when we swing, we say, our God reigns. And when we open it up, our God reigns. And beautiful are our feet. Not because we really have beautiful feet, but it's the news that we are bringing that is beautiful to them, for those that have gone over mountain and dale. And the point is, the excitement and the extravagance of those who travel over mountain and dale and valley and hill to come marching along to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to each one who is around us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through other people. No, through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. God is using us. We are his ambassadors. We're not just somebody out there. We are King's kids. We are his ambassadors. And he's making his appeal through us. Jesus used these beautiful feet and these beautiful hands and this beautiful voice. I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm helping you. Because you have beautiful feet and beautiful hands and a beautiful voice when we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We come into that and understand it, that he is making his appeal through us. Go and tell them about my son Jesus. So we've got to know that the plan for us, there is a plan for us. Secondly, we've got to know the process. There is a process to this. And this is just some practical help for us to understand what the process is. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, the ambassadors through whom he is making his appeal. As the Lord assigned to each, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. And that's the second fault we have about, oh, evangelist, we've got to find the fish, clean the fish, deal with the fish, close the deal. No. Maybe we just used to plant some seed. It's like yesterday, maybe with those two guys, I just planted some seed. Maybe I'll see them there again one day and I'll go, hey, you're quite an Oscar. You've got a strange accent, but hey, you... And then we talk a little bit more. And somebody, maybe I've planted the seed in Alan, and Kevin comes along and he waters the seed a little bit and starts to grow. And then typical, Bridget comes along and says, do you want to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Because we're too chicken to ask. You know, God is at work all the time. Last week I preached, I said God is at all work at all time. There was a lady in the service here last week. And she came in and she started to weep. She wept through the worship. She wept through our word. She wept through the prophecies. And afterwards, someone went up to her and said to her, "Are you okay?" She said, "Yes." She says, "I just don't know what's going on in here." She said, "Delete. Ask the question. What do you think it is?" She says, "I think it's the worship." He said, "No." She says, "Well, maybe it was the sermon, the guy that was preaching." "No." "Well, what was it?" She says, "The Holy Spirit." "Oh, do you want to know who the Holy Spirit?" "Yes." She gave her life to the Lord on Sunday. We don't even know it's happening. God is at work all the time. And we, because we don't see it, we think, "Well, no, nothing ever happens." No, be the engineer of influence and go and help make it happen. Be the ambassador that he is making his appeal through you to make it happen. Amen? Well, another way we could put it, it's, you know, the clock. You just use the hand of the clock to move it. Midnight is when they give salvation. But maybe your job is just to take it from 5 past to 10 past. Maybe the next person takes it from 10 past to 25 past. Or how come? I chased after a guy who was in this church some years back. "Give your life to Jesus. Give your life." No. A friend of mine came in, Steve. Came and preached here. 3 blind mice standing in the rain. I don't know what he preached on. The guy came up and gave his life to Jesus. And I go, "What is that all about?" All I was doing was planting seed and bringing the hand around. Steve came in and hit the home run. Brought him off his base. Brought him home. So now we know that I've just told you there's a process. I want to talk to you a little bit about a process that hopefully will help you a bit. We see the process. So this is not all my own work. This is developed by a guy called Dr. James Engel, who was the director of Billy Graham program. Give him the credit. And he produced an engineering scale, I call it. I've made some alterations to it, of course, to help for us to understand where people are at in the process in coming to Christ, which has been adapted to help us. So the process looks like this. Number one, or -6, people are resistant to the gospel. Normally, people don't like church, have had a bad experience in church, they're far away from God, and often because they've been hurt or have fear of God or the church. Remember I said to you, we would rather people know more about what we stand for and who we are in God than what we're against. You know, it's easy to stand, "We're against this, we're against that, we're against the other." No. We're for the love of Christ. We're for the salvation of the nations of the world. So people, number one, are resistant to the gospel. When we get to someone who's resistant, the worst thing you can do is now want to be the prosecutor or the advocate. You go, "Okay." I had a friend when I first got saved, and we were buddies, and we used to go in business together, and we used to go to cocktail parties together, and I think we silently had this competition who could last the night. And then I stopped. Trying to see if I could last the night. And then I found the conversation got really boring around about 9 o'clock. And that's when I said, "Okay, time for me to go home. Hasta la vista." And then when I left, I heard that he used to play catch up because he didn't want to drink too much in front of me. So when I'd gone, then he wanted to play catch up. And one day he said to me, he says, "What do you think God thinks about this?" I said, "You know what? Actually, I don't think he cares much about that. I think he cares about your soul and your salvation and your heart. That's because once you've got that right, you'll deal with that thing." Oh. So we have to get where people are receptive. Receptive to the gospel. Receptive to listening. Receptive, move them forward from fears and hurts and misunderstandings and sometimes ignorance into the light. Then they become seeking. When barriers have been broken down. Now there's something about you. Why? Remember last week I said persistence of faith, persistence of the presence of God, Not up one day, down the next day, up one day, next day. No, no, you're constant, hey? When you say God loves me, you actually really mean it. You're not like angry one day down all over the place. Then they get to the point where they start to consider stuff. What their life is like, what their life could be like. You know, I grew up in the church, I left the church, I was hurt and angry, I understood that. I don't have anything to do with it. And then one day, you know, I know people are going to probably throw stones at me for this. He'll say, you can't be happy in your sin. Trust me, I was very happy in my sin. I used to party, party, party. I was the happiest guy in town. Just being real. But I realized there was an emptiness. Because after the, you know, springs were put in you, you're always going to get let down. And there was an emptiness, and I couldn't figure out what this emptiness was about. And I was trying to understand stuff. Because I was considering what my life was and what it was, what it could be like. And what did the guy say to me when I was young? Let me get to a little bit of an understanding. Understand that God wants a relationship with you personally, not a religion. And we get so stuck on religion. God, when we start to understand that God actually wants a relationship with us, then we start to respond. And we start to respond to Him and understanding and being ready. And more people are ready than we actually know. Remember I told you once, it wasn't just I thought it was a cute idea, it was actually a stat. You know why people don't come to church mostly? Or why they don't give their lives to Jesus? Because no one asked them. People have gone through this resistance, receptive, seeking, considering, understanding, responding. And they've got there. But no one's saying, cross over onto the light side from the dark side. And we need to get to that. And then what happens? New life. Ground zero. They give their life to Jesus. And now they've got to start learning to belong. And there's a belonging. And they start to belong to a new family. Because do you know that that's what they want to do? Again, I'm a stat. Do you know why men go to pubs to drink? It's not for the booze. You can go to LCBO and you can do that. You can do it in the backyard. It's for fellowship. It's for belonging. That's why they do it. That's why people do it, because they've got their own little family. And that's why it's important for us to be family and to people to belong, get connected into a good church. Then they start to grow, and they're growing and discovering and understanding, and man, you cannot believe what happened, and giving testimony and growing. And then we get the exciting part. They start to serve, and they're serving most of what God has called you for. You won't realize it until you get to the place, to this point, where God's blessing and favors upon you when you move towards helping others. No, it's just me, and it's just all about me and what I've got. Yeah, okay. You're probably still responding. But once you give yourself over and you start to belong and to grow and mature, then you actually, I want to help others. I want to serve. I want to do stuff for the kingdom. Then we get really exciting. We start to share. Sharing disciples, making disciples. And of course, lastly, becoming more Christ-like. And we can put a little arrow there going up into glory. Sowing seeds to help people discover that God is already at work in their lives. That's why they are ready. No one invites them. No one says, come along. No one says, do you want to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And they're on, what's it, fourth base, third base, base three, and they're waiting to run home. They just need someone to hit the ball out the park so they can come home. So we get excited, and you know why people get upset and argumentative? Because God's already there messing in their lives. Bridget was in the street one day, she was leading a guy to the Lord, And a guy on the other side ran across the road and screamed at her, "I know what you're doing!" Heavenly clash. Spiritual cosmic war going on. God is already messing in his life. We thought, what an ugly person. No, no, no. God is already convicting him and putting stuff into his life that he didn't understand. So the best he can do is shout and scream at the lady who's leading a guy on the street to the Lord. He hated the fact that she was leading this other guy to the Lord. And she was like, what? The other guy was like, God is always ahead of us, moving and doing ourselves. So I'm a couple of practical things. This is a very practical sermon today, one by one. Pray unceasingly. So, well, what do we pray for, Mark? I'm so glad you asked. So what we do is we pray, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Pray that the Father would draw that person to the Lord. Pray, God, won't you send Holy Spirit to draw that person into your kingdom. Lord God, thank you for using me. I'm praying for their salvation. I'm praying that the Father would draw them to Jesus. Well, he's a hopeless case. Let me find somebody else. No. I was a hopeless case. You were a hopeless case. Don't be all innocent now. Anybody wasn't a hopeless case? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded their minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Pray against the spirit that has blinded their minds. Holy Spirit, won't you open their minds? Won't you let them see? Won't you break the chains, break their mindset? Open their eyes that they may see, Father. Third prayer. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, whom we cry, Abba, Father. Pray that they would come to know the Father in a relational way. He's up there, he's going to beat me, the next thing I do, he's going to shout at me, next thing he's going to do, he's going to put something in my way, and something's going to bad going to happen to me because I did something bad yesterday. No. Pray that you come into relationship with the Father. A one-on-one understanding, the depth of that. Fourth prayer, 1, 2, 3, 4. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I've said this a number of times. We want to pray, Father, send out Alan into the harvest. I'm going home to eat my lunch. No, we are the laborers that he sent here. But the point is also to pray that others would come across their path with personal, relational impact in their lives, influence in their lives. Pray, God, I don't see that guy on the train every day, those two guys that I met yesterday in the coffee shop. Father, would you bring others across their path, bring them into the relationship of Jesus Christ? Would you open their eyes and take away the blinders, the blinkers off of their eyes? Father, would you, I pray against the spirit that they can't see the kingdom. I pray, Father God, you would draw them to Jesus. Last prayer. Ephesians 1:17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Lord God, Father, won't you give me revelation and wisdom of who Jesus is and what he has done for them and for me? And Lord, help me to expand on that. Let me pray that over these people, Lord God. Let them understand what Jesus did. Not just the story, but God, the truth of what happened. Number four, commit to caring for others. Little story of Zacchaeus. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was chief tax collector. You have to know, they were despised in those days. No one inviting Zacchaeus to his house. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. Someone prayed, Father, won't you reveal him the wisdom and the love and the revelation of who Jesus is to this man? But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, passed away. When Jesus came to the place, he looked at him and said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Can you imagine? You've never been invited to the house of Jesus before, or into Jesus come to your house. All you want to see is this. You know that while you're climbing up the tree, the people are, there's that tax collector. Just come, kids, come. Just stand near that man. And the crowd around the sycamore tree dispersed. Poetic license here. Jesus walks up and he's easy to get there because they've all dispersed away from the tree, and he looks up into the tree and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house for lunch today. I think Zacchaeus, who was small of stature, I think he grew like 7 foot. Jesus is coming to my house today. Caring for others. Committing to care for others. Commit to caring for others. 1 Corinthians 9. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside of the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. Interesting little piece of scripture that. Then, well, we're under grace now, we're free. No, we're still under the law of Christ. That I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I might share with them in its blessing. Paul cared so much that he had this little bag of strategies that he carried around with him. And when he came and he saw someone, and they were, in our case, say a drug addict, he didn't say, well, you know, I grew up in, what's a posh place? Rosedale. Rose Hill. Rosedale. I grew up in Rosedale, my boy. Let me just call Kevin. And he'll sort you out. No, Paul said, I became as one. I came and I spoke to him at his level. Not because you want to be clever or smart, but because you want to win some for Jesus Christ. That by all means, okay, no, that won't work for them. Hey, I'll try this one, okay. I've told you many times, a lot of people here were Catholics before they became Christians or gave their life to Jesus, got saved. Because you do get Catholic Christians. But you don't have to go to a Catholic person and explain the Ten Commandments to them. Let me tell you about your sin and the Ten Commandments. They know it better than you do. We have to teach them is the grace of Jesus Christ, the grace of the Lord. The guy who knows nothing, unchurched, you've got to teach him Ten Commandments and the law and the grace. And you've got to teach him his sin is what's caused him. Because the sin, the law, is the schoolmaster to train you. That's what the scripture says. So we have to learn to understand where to get at people. Find out what people are interested in. So, well, they're interested in football. I have the foggiest clue about football. I don't know anything. Go and find out. Google football. You know? You can find anything out. Go and understand. So that by all means. Why? Because it's about you? No, it's not about you. It's about the kingdom. It's one by one. Last point. Invest in others. Caring is sharing, and sharing is caring. 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet, do it with gentleness and respect. Well, I don't agree with you. I don't think that Jesus died, and I don't think this, and I don't think that. Okay. I don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. Okay. No, let me tell you the Bible. Woo, you ugly. Do it with love and kindness. Why? Because they're not speaking out of knowledge. People who are not of the Spirit do not understand the things of the Spirit. Look, what is behind that? What is the spirit behind that person? Because they're all people precious in God's sight. One by one. Last scripture, Acts 20:24. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. My goal in investing in others is that I may finish the race well. You know, many people start the race out and it's all gung-ho and think, you know, when we get saved, some of us think when we get saved, you know, if you take a racetrack, we get saved, you think, oh, checkered flag, that's it, now we're done. No, you just got the green light. Now the race begins. Checkered flag, eternity. And Jesus calls us home. And the Father says, well done, my good and faithful servant. Checkered flag. But we think, I'm part of the kingdom now. I've got the checkered flag. I'm going. No. Invest in others. Commit to caring for others. Let us finish the race well, one by one. One by one. If we did one by one, in 2 years' time, we'd have to plant a church. So that's too big a vision, Mark. Because I told you a little while ago, we're not adding to the walls. We'd rather plant a church. That's advancing the kingdom. Take the salt and the light and the city on a hill and put it in another area. I don't know how long ago I told you, maybe you've forgotten, that in Pickering and Ajax, we've got something like 200,000 people. And of the 200,000 people, on all religions, on a Friday or Saturday, Sunday, whatever day they do this, less than 10% are actually in church. You think we've got a mission field out there? You think there are people who need Jesus Christ? Do you think people need to know that they are resistant and they are what all those other things were? That we can, one by one, just drop a pebble into somebody's pool? I think we're messing up their life, man, and God's already ahead of us. Holy Spirit's already ahead of us. We pray these five prayers. I mean, this is, please, again, just understand. This is not a pattern now. Now, because we don't, you know, these are just five scriptures that I came up, five prayers for us to pray for people. So, well, if I pray these five prayers, you know, then it'll work. It's like when the book of Jabez came out. No, if we pray the prayer of Jabez, then everything will happen. No, Jesus taught us how to pray, not Jabez. Anyway, that's my final say this morning. Let's stand together. Please, please, let's stand together. It's always good to say please and thank you. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for standing. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord God, and we ask. We come and we just humble ourselves, Lord God, and we thank you for the gifts and the talents that we have. Thank you for everything that you've shown us. But God, we want to be your ambassadors. We know you've called us to be, and we want to be those that you are making your appeal through. Father, give us this coming week an opportunity to make that appeal in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, we ask that you would bring across our paths, my path, all of us. Father, others, that we may make a ripple in their pool, that we would see the rain come and we would see the rain in the pools, the concentric ripples that would go out to advance the kingdom, to preach the gospel, to stir people's lives, to engineer an influence of change in people's lives. Bless us as we go, Lord God, and we honor you, we honor your word. We love you, Jesus. You are our King, our Lord, our Savior, and our Master. Holy Spirit, infuse us. Refill us, Lord God. Touch our lives. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. All God's people said, amen. Amen.